And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, I don't know. I thought we were going to talk about a certain set of things this morning, or actually last night. 24 hours have passed, and it's a completely different world. The Republicans, of course, are going to need a new campaign slogan. Given the way Trump postures himself, I think maybe their new slogan ought to be, "Only real men get COVID-19. But what do you make of all of this? I mean, this is really an unprecedented, of all the unprecedented situations, here we have a really unprecedented situation where the few weeks before the election and the candidate can't campaign.
Well, wasn't this really only a matter of time that Trump was really skating on thin ice for a long time? I mean, look, he's had some examples. In England, we had Boris Johnson, who was talking about doing herd immunity. And then, bingo, you know, he came down with the virus. The guy in Brazil,
Bolsonaro,
was, you know, shaking hands, walking in the crowd, saying this thing was a hoax. And he came down with it. I've got a phrase I keep reminding my conservative friends about when I get emails from them. And that's essentially, you can't fool Mother Nature. It's not nice, as the commercial used to be. You know, you can't lie to her. You can't bully her. You can't fake her out with phony science or, you know, made up stories. It's Mother Nature. It's the nature of viruses. And the problem is that it's not just the people who are leading the country that are doing this, but the effect that they have on millions of people who are true believers.
That's right. This guy and his enablers convinced millions of Americans that reality doesn't exist, that the virus doesn't exist, that the illness is a hoax. And they're getting sick. And they're not only getting sick. And, you know, now we have today 208,000 dead from this avoidable sickness. But there are tens of thousands of illnesses that people are going to have who didn't die, who are going to have the rest of their lives, heart conditions, liver conditions, neurological conditions that are never going to go away.
Lung conditions.
Of the 7,200,000 people who are sick, have gotten this thing, there's at least 700,000 people who are going to have lifelong disability. Trump caused it all. Yeah. He can blame the Chinese all he wants. Responding to what happened was his responsibility. He decided that he'd be real clever. It was only attacking Democratic cities. After all, it was in New York and in California. Let the Democrats worry about it. We don't have to do anything. That was his cynical, stupid, inhuman point of view.
Wasn't that the Kushner idea?
I don't know whose idea it was, but whoever it was, they're all, you know, crimes against humanity. That is a crime against humanity.
Yeah, neglect. Knowing something and allowing it to occur and the occurrence causing, you know, human suffering and death.
Yeah. Who cares that he disagrees with his experts? It's you can have whatever opinion you want, but if you try and implement what you think is right and it shows that you're wrong, when you implement what you're doing, shows that you're wrong and you don't change, you're guilty of negligence. You're guilty of mismanagement. You're guilty of gross dereliction of duty. That simple.
It's living in an alternate reality.
That's right. But you know what? That's not an excuse. That's a psychosis.
Well, we know that there's a number of psychoses there.
Yeah.
And again, they finally seem to have caught up with him. You wonder how politically they're going to try to spin this thing away. Remember, this, as you said, this was first the hoax, then it was the common cold, then it was no worse than an ordinary flu, then it, you know,
that goes away by itself. Kids don't get it. The hot weather makes it disappear.
We'll have a
vaccine in October.
Yeah, and then the fantasies of Clorox and Lysol and
hydrochloroquine. Nobody's giving him that stuff now. He's in the hospital. No. Nobody's giving him that stuff.
Right.
Well, from the viewpoint of the running of the country, this is not just a public health story. Right at this moment, the American government basically is not functioning properly. The executive head, who has the way the Constitution is set up, he has a lot of power. He can't exercise that power. He's in a hospital bed. They said, oh, well, you know, he's going to use the presidential office at Walter Reed. There is no presidential office at Walter Reed. It's a lie, like all the other lies. There's a suite, a bedroom, a sitting room, and a little meeting room, and it's not secure. And it's for the use of anybody who wants to pay to use it. The president is supposed to have secure communications. Otherwise, what's the point of all the money that you spend on intelligence, right?
Yeah. But don't forget, he's been using his private phone all along. Not just the White House phone, but he's got this private phone that everybody knows that the Russians and the Chinese and the Israelis and maybe the Turks and the Koreans are listening in on. Secured communications has never been his strong point. The only thing he cared about was to yell about Hillary Clinton's unsecured her phone. The other thing is he's still in court trying to get rid of the ACA and pre-existing conditions and or insurance that allows coverage of pre-existing conditions. And how many Americans are now going to have pre-existing conditions if he's successful and being unable to afford insurance?
Yeah.
Because he had no plan, you know, he had no plan to provide for insurance.
He has no plan for the presidency. Or put it this way, if he told you what his supporters really had in mind, that is to say the Koch brothers, nobody would vote for him. And the Koch brothers know that. That's why they are, you know, happy not to have people not vote.
Well, you know, his plan really was to make money for himself. Which he did. He didn't even think of winning. He didn't even need to win to make money. And he's been doing these things. And, of course, he needs the money because, as we found out early in the week with the tax records that
he's broke
were released. Yeah, I mean, he loses money at everything, basically. You know, the New York Times had a story a year or so ago that, saying the same thing, but now they have the figures to back it up. And I believe they said that they had even more stuff coming.
His father left him $400 some odd million. He pissed it all away. He managed to get another $400 million from selling the TV show he developed. That's gone. Well, how is this guy a businessman? Well, I mean, there are businessmen who lose, but the IRS rule says if you do something and you lose money 7 years in a row, you can't call that a business. That has to be called a hobby.
Right.
Well, he's lost more money for more years than 7 years in a row. He's not a businessman. He's a compulsive gambler. That's his hobby, compulsive gambling. And he manages to figure out a way by money laundering, by racketeering of various sorts, to always have some cash flow. But none of it sticks to him. Nobody benefits from it. He doesn't create jobs. And if he does employ people, he never pays them.
Yeah. Don't forget, he, you know, you talk about gambling. He owned the house and he lost money. I mean,
yeah, the first he owned rule, the house and he went bankrupt. Right.
Yeah. First rule of the casino is the house always wins.
Yeah. How did that happen? I can't even understand it. How did that happen? He owned the casino and it went broke. And it wasn't the people who weren't coming. Yeah.
He was probably skimming too much money off of it.
Maybe. But no, but then he'd have some money. He doesn't have any money.
Well, but then he would waste it on other things.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And the amount that he didn't pay in taxes, like some of the commentators were saying, he gets flown to Walter Reed on a government helicopter, a Marine helicopter, and he's in a hospital, and everything is paid for by the U.S. government, as it should be for the chief executive, but he's not contributing to the tax base for that.
No, he's a complete grifter.
Yeah, he was confronted with that in the debate. That if you call it a debate, you know. And Chris Wallace is asking, well, what about in income tax? You only paid $750 2 years, and some years you paid nothing. And he said, I've paid millions. He said, I'm not talking about other taxes. I'm talking about income taxes.
Right.
And Trump would not acknowledge that there was even a difference in this stuff.
If you're a retired person and your only income is Social Security, you pay more than $750 in income taxes.
They were saying there's some of the undocumented people that worked in his resorts paid more in taxes than he did because they still have money taken out of their checks.
Yeah, that's right. They don't get any benefit from it, but they lose the money.
No, yeah.
Meanwhile, this paragon of Americanism, America is being cheated by all the other countries, paid more in taxes to the Philippines than he paid to America.
Or to India.
And to India, too?
Yeah. There were a couple countries, and I think Turkey was the other one. He paid more in income tax to them.
What a guy. What a great guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I would talk about the debate, but it wasn't a debate. And I mean, and nobody did think it was a debate, right?
No, it really wasn't. It was an aberration. It was a disgrace in front of the world. And he didn't do what he needed to do. He was behind in the race. He needed to change the narrative. He had a.
No, I don't agree with you. I don't agree. See, I disagree with you.
Okay.
Because you are a person involved in politics, and you've been doing it for too long. And you don't like Trump's strategy, so you can't imagine that he's serious about it. But Trump's strategy is very simple. He's got a certain base. He knows how big it is. He's got to get them to vote. Everybody else he's got to get not to vote. Trump's performance was to rile up the people who vote for him anyway. The lawyers that are on his campaign committee, and he's got a $66 million budget for that part of the campaign. It's their job to make sure nobody else votes, one way or the other. And that's why he has this campaign against mail-in voting, because that's part of getting people not to vote. I'm not going to go through all the ways in which we all know, you know, he's been campaigning about it, claiming it's a fraud, figuring out how to challenge it, making sure that the votes won't get counted. But it's like a sandwich, peanut butter sandwich. You got peanut butter and you got bread. If you don't have the bread, the peanut butter is not a sandwich. It's just a lump of peanut butter. And if you have bread, it's not a sandwich. You need both. This peanut butter sandwich, Trump is the peanut butter. The vote suppression, that's the bread. That's the strategy. And I think he did what he needed to do to rile up his 30%, because I think that's what he's got, 30%. And he doesn't care about anything else because he's counting on the lawyers to make sure those votes don't get counted. Not that they don't get cast, although he's going to try to keep that from happening, but for sure they don't get counted. That's what I think.
Well, they are trying to do that in in Pennsylvania.
Right. Yeah, they, describe that. You know the details of that, right?
Well, the Republicans came out. You have to give them props for inventiveness. And the state house decided that they would create a special investigative committee on the election and on voting. Now, and that they want, and they gave themselves subpoena power. The problem is they really don't have that power under the Constitution.
I mean, they don't have the power to grant themselves subpoena power.
Right.
Okay.
Not on this type of a committee. They're trying to bypass the normal laws where they would have to get the governor's approval because they can't get it.
Right.
And they're trying to get these cases into court where they know they will lose in front of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, which they're trying to undermine, by the way.
Right.
So that they can take it to the U.S. Supreme Court and hopefully get bailed out there. But a lot of these are long shot things because they're so much of an aberration that the idea that the U.S. Supreme Court would even get into things on state law on this before the election are highly unlikely.
Well, but he's counting on Kavanaugh, he's counting on Gorsuch, and he's counting on Barrett.
Right.
He's not yet there, but she'll be there.
Yeah, and he'll get...
and of course, Alito and Clarence Thomas will do it.
Right.
Well, you don't need anybody else. You got the vote.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. First, I got to get through the confirmation hearing on Barrett.
But you don't doubt they will.
Well, that's in jeopardy now because some of the senators who are attending things are now under quarantine or have the virus.
Oh, well, that's an interesting point. You got Mike Lee. He's got the virus. And you've got it's only a 2-week quarantine, right?
It is, as long as you don't test positive again. Remember,
right.
If you keep testing positive, it's 2 weeks, you know.
But what if they just break the quarantine? I mean, there's no law that says they can't break the quarantine.
Yeah, well, that would be interesting, you know, to come into the Senate or whatever.
Get everybody else sick, sure.
Yeah, get everybody else sick.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting question whether Hope Hicks got him sick or he got Hope Hicks sick.
Or whether it happened somewhere else.
Who knows where? Meanwhile, his people are being mowed down. The hottest source of infection that I can see in the United States is the White House.
Yeah. There's all sorts of people that have that now. And it has been. You know, remember we've had Secret Service agents and went to these rallies that have gotten it.
They got it, right. And newsmen are getting it. People who are assigned to the White House press pool, journalists, they're getting it. There's at least three.
Yeah. How about the head of the Republican National Committee? She has it now.
Right. She came down with it this week.
And the president of Notre Dame was at the...
And without a mask.
Without a mask, yeah.
And, you know... There was a bit of chicanery involved in this debate, too, because before the debate, the promoters of the debate were saying, talking about all the wonderful parts of the who were going to take part in the debate, all the wonderful things that were going to happen. And Cleveland Clinic was appointed the health director of the debate, and they were going to make sure that everybody was healthy and everything healthy was happening at the debate. And, of course, it turned out none of the Trump people wore masks. And
well,
there was nothing the Cleveland Clinic could do to make them wear masks.
They wore them for a photo op, and then they immediately took them off.
Right. But then the doctors went and said, put them on, and they said no.
No. Right. They said no.
Yeah.
And it turns out that the clinic didn't do the testing. They relied on the campaigns to do the testing. And Trump wasn't even tested for 24 hours before the debate.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
There you go. It doesn't pay.
Whether this will make, you know, but it still won't make any difference to the, you know, to the diehard supporters. We have evidence of that here in the area this week. First of all, there was a rally that I didn't know about in advance at Republican headquarters in downtown Scranton featuring the McCluskeys.
Those are the two gangster lawyers, the real estate lawyers from the Midwest.
The couple from St. Louis who...
Yeah.
When they went out and with guns, one guy had an assault rifle with them, the husband, because people were marching by their house.
Right.
And they were signing autographs. And if you saw the picture in the newspaper, Nobody had masks on. And then I have to give my wife credit. She was reading the paper this week, and there was an obituary from a guy in Muzik who died unexpectedly, someone in his 50s. And it was a big obituary. It was a two-column one. At the bottom of it, they talked about how great a Trump supporter he was. And they asked people, in lieu of flowers or making donations to charity, to give to the Trump campaign in his name.
Well, Trump is broke. He needs the money.
They've backed out of advertising in certain places. They don't have enough money. Speaking of money, everybody was talking about Joe Biden couldn't raise money. Joe Biden wasn't going to have enough money. The Democrats were wasting the money in the primaries, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, Joe Biden has raised more money than anybody. They came out with the figures for August, and he had a huge month, $350 million or something like that. And he had more in September, and in the night of the debate, in the hours of that, he raised, what, $10 million?
Yeah, in one hour.
Yeah, small donations.
Yeah.
Kind of incredible.
I think that this really, Trump getting sick, to me, it seems like that really puts paid to his campaign. I don't see how he recovers from that.
He can't get out in campaign. This whole thing about masks.
He can't avoid the issue. He can't now throw sand in everybody's eyes, and because everybody's going to, for the next 2 weeks, is going to be talking about him and the illness. Yeah, he lost control.
He lost control of the narrative.
Yep.
He lost it on the tax issue earlier. He just can't get to his issues. You know, he's not showing immigrants running across the border, Mexico paying for a wall, and things like that. And the demonstrations have calmed down with the cooler weather. It's no longer a big deal. So it's just not working out for him at this point. But you can't take anything for granted. So the Republicans,
and you got more and more Republicans who are coming out against him.
Yeah. Yeah, we've seen some big names this week. Tom Ridge, the former governor of Pennsylvania and the first Homeland Security secretary. H.R. McMaster is out talking about how unfit he is. Stanley McChrystal, the general in Afghanistan, Obama had a fire because McChrystal said some nasty things about him. He came out and said he's going to vote for Biden. There are the former Republican national chairman from Montana, the governor of Montana, former governor of Montana, came out. You keep hearing these things. I mean, and there's panic setting in the Republicans because they're also now likely to lose the Senate.
So how does that look at this point?
Well, the Democrats have to pick up a net of four, and they fully expect to lose the Doug Jones seat in Alabama, although that's not as sure thing as before. They had some targeted seats. They had Collins in Maine, Tillis in North Carolina, Colorado seat, and the Arizona seat. And they're up in all of those. But they're also now up in Iowa. They're tied or almost up in Alaska, in Kansas. The Republican Senatorial Committee shifting money for that election. There's an open seat in Kansas. Kansas hasn't elected a Democratic senator in 100 years. It's one of those you'll believe when you see it. South Carolina, Lindsey Graham's within.
That's what's really interesting, South Carolina.
And something happened there this week. There was a third-party candidate, a constitutional party candidate, who said, I'm dropping out, and so I won't hurt Lindsey Graham. They're that worried about that. Huh. Texas is somewhat close. It could be a wipeout. You know, Alaska, Dan Sullivan up there. We have to see. And if the Republicans start shifting money from the Trump campaign to the Senate campaign, you know that those things are in trouble. There's still 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Texas, they're in such panic that the governor there had to do another voter suppression move where he declared that for early voting, that there would only be one drop box off per county.
Those counties are the size of states.
Yeah, And the big counties are Democratic. Four out of the six, probably now five out of the six biggest counties are Democratic. So in Houston, you're going to have one place for several million people who want to vote to drop off early ballots.
Well, you see, that's my point. Suppress the vote. That's half of the, even more than half of the strategy.
Yeah. And they're very clever in what they're doing, but it may be that this wave may be so great where the polls are open, the voting is enormous. Virginia, for instance, Democratic states, you know, right now, North Carolina, there are a lot of people.
More than a million people have already voted.
Yeah, in a lot of places.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how these Republican senators are still sticking with him. Kelly Loeffler down in Georgia is, and we'll just have to see. You just have to see. There's always some surprise state.
And this week, the latest employment numbers came out, and they were really terrible. I mean, the ratio stayed more or less even, but the reason for that is people stopped looking for work. The crazy way that they compute the number, you have to be looking for work to be in the pool. If you're not looking for work, it's true you're not working, but you're not counted as unemployed.
Right. Well, the unemployment rate went down to 7.9.
Yeah, but it's because mainly women dropped out of the labor force, stopped looking for work.
Right.
A lot of them.
Yeah. And the new first filings are still over 800,000. They're 837,000. Yeah. Yeah. So there's not a great recovery. And don't forget, then we found out it hasn't even been counted yet that Disney is going to lay off, 28,000 people?
Airlines are laying off 30,000.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's horrible. Yeah. And that was what he was claiming was his great strength, Trump.
Right. So next week's numbers, right then and there, they're going to be down by tens of thousands of jobs. And that was... Trump used to come out every time the numbers went down there, you know, boasting how he's doing these things. It's amazing how, you know, events sort of overtake things and everything is flowing in one direction. You hate to jinx it because there's still 4 weeks left. You don't know what other surprises could come out.
What we know is it's sick. This is a sick situation. That's all I can say.
Yeah, and the country is sick of a lot of this stuff, and they're sick of the politics. And this is going to be another change election.
Well, it should be. Why should people put up with this?
Yeah. Remember, Trump asked, "What do you have to lose?"
Yeah, your life.
Yeah, your life, your job,
your child's education, your child's prospects,
right.
Your house. There's a wave of evictions coming this next month.
Right.
Well, enough of it for this week. God knows what's going to happen next week. We can't. There's no sense guessing.
No, it's. There's no way you can figure out from day to day or every couple of days, any one of these things would have been an enormous change of.
Yeah. And he's getting sicker. They say he can't. He's having trouble breathing. They're saying he has the symptoms are not strong, but meanwhile he's having trouble breathing. Well, you know what that means.
Yeah.
All right. See you next week.
Well, we will see you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week. Same time, same place. This program is supported by Argosy Bookshop of New York City. 116 East 59th Street, just down the block from Bloomingdale's. Old and rare books, prints and maps, members of the International League of Antiquarian Booksellers, founding members of the Antiquarian Booksellers Association of America, members of the Appraisers Association of America, on the web at Argosy Books, ArgosyBooks.com. Check them out for books, autographs, maps, and prints.